Let's move on.
Okay, check 1, 2, 3, 4. Check, check, check. That's looking good. And now let's get the, let's do this. I think that's next there. Let's do...
We want to thank you so much for listening to Enlightened Radio. Coming up next, we are going to try something a little bit different that we hope you enjoy. We like to call it the unknowns. With your original Dusty Footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, and his sidekick, Michael Cucurini. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much. Also, added to this broadcast will be Mouth on Mikey Sports! We thank you so much for listening.
What?
All right.
Yeah, what's wrong with that guy? Jesus.
Yeah, who the hell was that, man?
John! We got to get a professional intro, or that's terrible, man. Coming up out of those up-tempo numbers, man.
I
got to play a goddamn dog death deck. This is ridiculous. How unprofessional are you? I want some answers.
I have no answers, sir.
Has anybody seen Don? Where's Don?
Sorry, it was my Casey Kasem. I was channeling Casey Kasem. I apologize.
You know what? I think Casey's a little bit dated, pal.
I know. But that classic blooper audio is never. It will never go away.
Never die. Never die.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like the cutaways from Alec Trebek's commercials. Trebek's like, all right, coming up by us, son of a bitch.
I'm just trying to advocate here for our teenage audience that, you know, maybe listening.
I'll tell you what, teenagers out
there in
teenager internet land, go out and find some samples of Earl Weaver, the old manager of the Baltimore Orioles. If you want to hear... selective creative cursing. Just listen to Earl Weaver. It is some of the that or Coach McKay for the original coach that coached USC that traveled across the country, moved his family to coach the expansion Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL.
Right.
Some of the funniest things that's some of the funniest press conference stuff I have ever heard or seen. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, John, but he would be asked questions like, how do you feel about your team's execution? I'm all for it.
Yeah, right. Whoa.
What do you think your team did today? Well, we didn't block anybody, but we made up for it by not tackling it.
Right. The other team formed a firing squad. And, you know.
That's why I love that. Brian Regan, stand-up comic, just a brilliant stand-up comic. He does this thing where he talks about after the game, the losing team's always like, they're always consoling themselves. And the coach, you think the coach comes in and goes, good news, guys. I was just over at the winning team's locker room, and they're giving us a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah, right. That's great. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly what you want to say to your team.
All right, man.
Coming in the locker room going, you guys suck.
You guys worked really hard out there. Don't worry.
Horrible.
If you didn't win.
Disgusting! Don't play.
Right,
you know. If we even get to the practice field.
Well, you know how you can see a big contrast in parenting styles there between, you know, fathers that, you know, if your son or a daughter, you know, didn't perform particularly well, you know, you encourage them. Well, you try to find something positive to do, or you could take the. You know, the drill sergeant for the Marine Corps approach, which is to humiliate beyond to an intolerable level.
Yeah, that was only halfway in my dad. It was only my dad only had that to a certain extent. It's like when you get injured, my dad was like the guy you want to be having in your corner, you know, if you get hurt. But boy, oh boy, he just man. And then you get home. And you think you're home from practice, but you're sitting at the dinner table. He's like, another thing. When you're on the baseline, remember to pass the damn ball. Jesus Christ. Your brother was wide open. What the hell's wrong with you?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Pass the gravy. Mix that ham and potatoes taste real good.
Yeah, pass the gravy, okay?
I'm going to pour it on my head. No, anyway. I mean, my dad was actually a really great guy. We had a baseball coach one year
who's just so mean. He was, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, like, I'm talking like, I think I might have been 11 or 12 playing baseball this year. I can't remember the name of the team, but this guy was such an asshole. The entire coach's organization and structure wanted him off the team. He would scream like obscenities. You know, he'd use the F word and say you're slow and you're stupid. Just insulting people all the time. And so they got rid of him and they asked my dad and my uncle to take over the team for the last four games. And that was the most fun I ever had playing baseball. Because they start off with an experiment. They knew I played center field.
Yeah.
And I loved center field. I loved roaming out there. I loved running for the ball. But a really strong arm. I could go from the outfield directly to home. You know, I didn't have to throw to the cutoff man. I'd always throw straight to the catcher. And they loved it. They were like, oh, Mikey, you got a bit of an arm. Let's put you on the mound. The problem is when you're pitching and you shorten that, you're not real comfortable because you're up on the mound.
Yeah.
For the first time, and you're trying to throw strikes. And, man, my first pitch, I remember it well, John, is I was trying to prove that I could pitch it. I threw it over the backstop. It just went right over. It's like the batter's going, all right. Put it in there, big guy. Put it in there while we're practicing. And he looks up and the ball's like right over his head. So, but when I did find the strike zone, it was pretty effective. I think I pitched for three innings before it really went south and they pulled me out.
Right.
And my uncle just said, well, he said, now you know how difficult it is to be a pitcher. And I said, yeah, it's rough. And so he put me back in center field. Man, I was so grateful for that. So grateful to just depart. And just be like, okay, I don't have that responsibility anymore.
Right.
No
right,
one's looking.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's the one thing
about
it. Because
if you're the pitcher on any, I mean, look at Max Scherzer. He's like the second highest paid guy. He's 30 plus years old. He's been playing forever. He's won three Cy Youngs. He's won the World Series with the Nationals.
Right.
He's making $59 million in 1 year. One year.
Well, I mean, I wonder what his tax rate is. Pretty high, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to take anything away from that guy. I mean, he's a bulldog. You know, I think a lot of people are mad because he left the Nats. I'm not. The Nats organization has been decimated. And I've talked to you about this as far as the learners, as far as their money goes. Now, late word out of the owner's meeting is the $6 billion dollar request from Snyder to purchase the Commanders has been met.
What do you mean met?
It's the investment group. It's the one I told you about. The guy that out of Jersey that has teamed up with Magic Johnson.
Gotcha.
Which I think is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because I just see these guys, you know, I mean, I swear to God, this coaching staff knows something that the public doesn't. So I think they may have gotten the confirmation of sale already, is what I'm saying. Because there's no freaking way they're going to be able to recruit this free agent and that free agent and this guy and that guy. And they're not going to be able to draft this guy and that without approval from above. So how the hell – either it's that or Daniel Snyder's just signing the emails that are sent to him over in England because he doesn't live here anymore. You know, he lives in England.
Right,
so,
yeah, true.
And the funny thing is the staff has seen all of that, like Mrs. Snyder and Mr. Snyder have moved all of their shit out of the park from FedEx Field. Their offices, everything's all cleaned out. So that's another indication that we're going to have some new ownership.
Let me do a little.
May I suggest something? If you want to endear yourself back to football fans, Washington football, because it's been 20 years since we had a actual professional football team there, here's what you do. Change the fucking name first, right off the top.
What name now?
Commanders. It's fucking stupid.
Well.
Change it to the Red Hawks.
The Red Hawks. Well, they were the Redskins, and that's been gone. Yeah,
well, they were, yeah, but that's a racist slur.
Right. It has
been. I don't care what anybody says.
You know,
it's always been that way.
John, I've got people in my own family that are fanatical sports fans that think Redskins is just fine.
No, I know, right? Yeah, well, I've heard
that. And you and I both don't. We don't believe that's fine.
Well, some people grow up with things. My sister isn't a good example.
I grew up with the team. I love the team.
You know, but some people can't change. Why do they,
John?
Why do they have to take down the statue of Robert E. Lee? It's been there for a century.
By the way, John, Jack Ken Cook here. I love it. Hi, everybody. I'm going to sign Dave Butts' contract for another year. Dave Butts negotiated his own contract. The defensive lineman that played for the Redskins, he'd walk into Jack's office, sit down, and go, "I'd like my check, please." And Jack Kent Cook would give him an $875,000 check for the year and just hand it to him. He didn't get payments like everybody else. He got his check up front. That's what he wanted. And he negotiated it himself. All this hubbub and bullshit about Lamar Jackson negotiating his own contract. Be careful what you hear from the owners, because the owners love to place blame on the player and say, "Well, it's not us. We really wanted him in here. We really wanted to offer him blah, blah, blah." And it's bullshit. If a player, we just found out yesterday that Lamar Jackson requested a trade. Professionally and personally, that is difficult to come back from.
Yeah.
You can't just say, "Now, how the hell is he going to go back in that locker room and go, 'I'm your leader, guys'? Didn't you just want to leave?"
Yeah, right.
So if they sign him, they're going to have to build back the relationship between him and the rest of his offense. So,
well, here's a question that I think it's curious to me. The working environment on these teams, professional teams, like a professional football or baseball team, and where it's a pretty mercantile kind of system about how people
contract.
Can you
explain what you mean by mercantile?
Well, you're trading, right? I mean, there's an economic trade where you're always on the marketplace, you know, at one stage or another. I mean, some people have binding contracts for a certain period of time, right? But my question really is that what is that overall kind of commercial aspect of the thing due to the team, the idea of a team spirit in the ordinary sense? I mean, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense at all?
The general consensus is among fans and among people who aren't even fans. First of all, first and foremost, they call it the NFL for a reason, not for long. That's the way I would put that. But also, too, you know, there are players that come into the business, to the NFL business, and I didn't even, you were asking about the medium income. It's actually, if you make the roster, it's actually $895,000 a year. So if you're on the taxi squad, you get half that, and that's still pretty damn good for being, you know, just going to practice. You're being paid to come to the facility and imitate next week's opponent. That's essentially what you're getting paid for. And if you're good at it and you continue to grow and increase your knowledge, the team, for the most part, is going to notice that. Sure. Has there been really amazing guys that have made it as a step up that weren't drafted, that were walk-ons, that went on to have, you know, 6-7 year all-pro careers? Yes, there are.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm not saying that, and they are the exception. There's no question about that, because the vetting process is getting more and more socialized and more effective in terms of knowing who you are as a human being at your core.
Oh, I see. Is that what you mean that
proven,
by socialized, that people, they,
right.
If you're
proven,
a wife, if you're a wife beater, they'll know about it, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. They're going to find out any little thing about you.
If you have
credit. You know, like this kid in Georgia just got into some trouble with somebody using a gun or I don't know the details of it, forgive me, but he was going to go number one in the draft. It's a defensive lineman. That freaking never happens.
Wow. Yeah.
But his stock trade down to,
I'm not going to feel bad for him because now Mel Kiper's saying he's 6 or 7.
Right.
In the first round.
Right.
Okay, John, you're 6 or 7 in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to make bank, baby.
Yeah, sure.
Look at the average salaries that have been. Look at, we just paid the Washington football team just paid Gerard Payne. Now, he earned it, but he's also was a first-round draft pick. So there's that.
Well, you got to, you know, I mean, it's a lot of money, but they got to be, probably got to be smart to keep any of it because, you know, you never know how long you're going to be in the game, really. You could get injured to, you know.
You got to get some level of guaranteed money. You're absolutely right. Now, a lot of the lawsuit that was filed against the NFL that they settled on has a lot of terminology in it that was borrowed from the Players Association, from their union.
Right.
Which is probably a good thing, but man, oh man, is that, you want to talk about in a hurry, has that become a very powerful union? Oh, I mean, yeah. As much as, like we have talked about, as much as we want to say, oh, those guys don't deserve that kind of money, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to see their gig. You know how much money their owners have?
Lots.
I want to say that's too much money for Max or for somebody. You shouldn't be able to blah, blah. Look, if they cut the deal and the deal works for them and the deal works for the ownership, who am I to begrudge
that? Yeah, right. Well, that's what bargaining's, what bargaining is supposed to be about, you know, and if you have.
Right, exactly.
If everybody. But yeah.
The NFLPA, the one thing they do have, because let's remember, the NFL is a nonprofit organization, John.
Well, that just means they're supposed to spend all their money each year, not supposed to reserve it. That's all that
means. And they have a cap, they have a salary cap, and that salary cap has been gradually going up over the years, and it's necessary. The one thing I said 10 years ago is I always thought you should have, like, instead of just backups, you should have an entire B team. You should have guys that are not on the field every Sunday or Saturday or Thursday night or Monday night. They're just guys that you know you can bring them in and they know the plays and they know how to work with the offense.
Right.
I think there's a way to do that, to achieve that, but right now it's hard. The one way you could do it is play in the XFL, reestablish yourself, and then go to a camp and be a free agent and make the team. Because you're already in NFL, you're already in football shape, is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
So you can transfer right from the XFL to, okay, I think I can, you know, this summer, I think I can get in camp and I'll be great. I'll be a lot better than I was. And that happens. I mean, I saw the quarterback for the Washington Defenders in the XFL the other day. Didn't even look like the same guy. It looked like he'd worked so hard on his release.
Right.
I've been watching this kid just get better and better every week, which is what you want to see.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So I've run my mouth enough about that stuff. So.
Hey, bud.
Big shout out to LeBron James's son, who did some, he was in the, I guess it was under 19 dunking competition, slam dunking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I think I want to say that his name is Braun or Brian. My God, that kid's got some legs.
Really?
I saw him. Yeah, he's not as big as his dad. His dad's big. I
mean, yeah, he's really big. Big guy. Yeah.
Really big guy. But he's about, I think, probably 6'3", 6'4".
So.
Just so good with the bat. I mean, he shoots threes, but he can slam dunk the ball over top of seven-footers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, he's just really a talented kid. And I think what we're seeing is you may actually see one, maybe even 2 years where LeBron James plays on the same team with his son.
Now that's a trip. It must be a trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Bonzes.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, right. That's cool. That's cool.
Barry Bonds Sr. played with his son on the, I believe it might have been the Giants. San Francisco Giants, it may have been somebody else. I can't remember. So.
Well, I'm a guy that thinks that both Barry Bonds and Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame.
I don't disagree with you. I think as much of a I don't like Pete Rose, especially as a human being. I think he should have been
voted into the Hall of Fame a long time ago. Like, there, yes, Pete Rose was pretty much a shitbag who did a lot of stupid things.
But he was a great player.
He was a fantastic player. And if you're just going to evaluate people based on how they played, then he should be a, you know, you look at his numbers, you can put them up against any Hall of Famer in there, and they're better.
That's right.
Yeah. I believe that, too. I think Mark McGwire, who, you know, we had that Sosa McGwire competition.
Yeah, right.
And everybody was speculating about Bonds and the other two consuming steroids or having injections or whatever.
Okay.
You know what, guys? Tough shit.
Okay? Yeah, really. I mean, the managers were all pushing the dope.
How many guys are taking these supplements? Do you really want to get into that?
Really, yeah.
Exactly. Eventually, you wouldn't be able to field a starting ball club at that time. Now, I know there are a lot of different ways to mask that, that you can inject yourself and no one would know.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of these players want to take the risk to their body.
No.
You know what I mean? It's become more important in the off season for them to take care of themselves, whether that be with training, diet, you know, because there are, I mean, you've got psychologists working for Major League Football, or football teams, Major League Baseball teams, and in wrestling. And you've got these people who are not your parent, not your coach, but somebody who can handle you and understands where you're coming from as far as some of the trauma you may have experienced in your life. And you can talk about that and work through it.
Hmm.
So I would look right to the Memphis Grizzlies and their great young player, Ja Morant, who just returned. And I told you about this. I don't want to be repeating this again, but I was so pleased to hear him say, my therapy is ongoing. This is not something that you go to once and you're corrected.
Right.
You have to keep going. You have to make the commitment that you're going to change and become a better person. And that's what Ja has done, and God bless him for it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know, that's where I'm at.
Hey, buddy, is there any chance that you have put together a weather report?
Hey, everybody! It's Harry. Take me out to the ballpark. Not today, though, because it's going to rain like hell out there. I just saw a dog and a cat fall out of the sky. That's crazy. I think maybe I'll get another beer, put up my big blue screen, and see what's going on. Go Cubs! Go Cubs! Hey, everybody, that was Harry Carey with the weather.
Yeah, that was good. By the way, is there any chance that there was a storm of some kind, an act of God that caused the latest outrage in, I believe it's Memphis or Nashville. Another mass shooting. I mean,
three 9-year-olds, John.
No.
A 61-year-old janitor.
Right.
The lady who was running the school, the president of the school, was taken from them. She actually, I think, had plans that day to have lunch with the mayor's wife.
And
so,
yeah.
She died. She was killed.
Yeah.
But in looking at the body cams, I tell you, you can't blame this one on the police. The two young police guys that went in with just all the courage in the world and were not afraid. They went in very quickly. Had they not done that, I do agree with the mayor. It would have been then you'd be talking about maybe a 20-person body count.
Yeah.
And that would have involved more children.
What do they know about the shooter?
Keep killing babies.
What do they know about the shooter?
She apparently identified as trans. There was some issues with her. She had told her parents she only had one gun. When they searched the house, they found 7.
Interesting.
So, very unfortunate. I mean, obviously, 28 years old, went to that school, probably had some conflicting issues within herself. I don't know what the full extent was, but I just know this. You know what, Lindsey Graham? Shut up. Shut up. Oh, we can't ban this. I got an AR-15. You don't need an AR-15 to fucking kill a deer.
Well,
excuse me, but I am sick of it.
Well,
it's... every other goddamn day we pick up the paper and these kids are being fucking slaughtered.
Yeah.
That's normal.
I think it's a part of an effort to shut down the public schools.
You know what?
And well, this is a private school, and this is a private religious school of some sort, right? Am I right?
I can't, John. I can't track with that. I don't think it's that.
I don't know.
Just that, because we've seen it happen at churches.
No, I know, but just so there's so many of them.
Think about it. Congregate when people are congregating. That's where this one thing that these shooters have is they do know there's going to be a concentrated amount of people in a certain place at a certain time. That's why they show up with a goddamn AR-15. Yeah. And don't tell me that it's the same thing as being shot with a pistol or a hunting rifle. It is not.
No, it's not.
I mean, the president of the United States explained it to you. That bullet goes into your body, it explodes.
Right.
And rips the shit out of your insides.
Yeah.
You know, there may have to be a law passed saying we have to see all the autopsy photos. Show that to Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry, John. I
know people are upset.
I don't know how many times yesterday I was in tears.
I know. It's just.
I tried to hide that in the gym. Yeah, you know, when I went to the PT, I was hiding it. I excused myself to go to the bathroom and then came back. When did it happen? 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago. That's what I thought.
Right.
But just thinking about my nieces and nephews and my grandnieces and grandnephews and all the little babies that have to go to these active shooter drills and are, you know, parents have to have conversations. My nephew's wife just posted on Facebook saying, now I have to have a conversation with my 7-year-old.
Did the shooter come from that community, that school?
Yes.
So if it was a trans...
to a Catholic school. Catholic school.
Was it Catholic? It was Covenant, it was called, right?
Yeah, it's a Catholic school. Yeah.
Anyway, but nonetheless, so...
I don't think it was Protestant.
Okay, but in any event, I was just wondering whether or not, you know, if you had some person that was in, that considered themselves trans for what, whether it was biological surgery, whatever the reason. Okay, anyway.
Were they shunned?
Yeah. Well, was there something going on there, and then, you know,
a lot of bullying online, like we see.
Yeah,
over the last
we don't.
Years?
Yeah, we don't know yet. I'm sure, but. I don't know.
I'm apoplectic.
Yeah, me too. It's just one thing after another.
It hurts, man. It hurts. It does. Emotionally. I'm going to tell you something right now. I know people, a good friend of mine has 4 guns.
Yeah.
He has 3 hunting rifles, 1 for himself, 1 for each of his sons. And he has 1 pistol. There is no way that those kids have access to those guns because he's had them locked away, and they don't even know where they're locked away at in the house. He's built this area in his house behind a piece of drywall where he hides the weapons so the boys can't get at him. So, I mean, hell, the other day you had a 4-year-old and a 12-year-old were being babysat by someone, I don't know who it was, in the neighborhood, and apparently she had been babysitting for a long time. The 4-year-old found a pistol and shot the sister in the head and killed her.
Yeah.
You know,
let's think of, let me just ask a couple questions about this, because current Supreme Court and they've taken it a step further than even it was before, the right to bear arms, quote unquote. And, you know, now they're saying that anybody can, you know, practically anybody.
Right.
Can
Tennessee has a bill.
Yeah.
In its state legislature that's going up the chain to be signed by the governor that says that no one needs a concealed carry permit. It's a free for all. Just put your gun in wherever, take it wherever, we don't care.
Right. So, but, Okay, so it looks to me like you're going to have to either change the Constitution or completely replace the Supreme Court, pretty much, to get a reconsideration of this question.
Wait a minute, John.
On a national level, the president, he said, look, I'm doing everything I can in my executive power.
Right.
I'm assuming he's honest about that. And if so, well, you know, we have a structural problem, as they say in engineering.
Well, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about the utter and complete disastrous failure from both state and state, local, and federal officials to handle this. This has not been well done. This has not been, you know, we're the only democracy in the world. And I want to emphasize this because it's been said a lot, but you have to keep saying it. That lets this shit happen.
Say that again.
Enough!
Say that again.
We are the only democracy in the world that lets this shit happen.
Mm. True.
Sorry.
I think. I mean, we need it. There needs to be a change. But it seems like a pretty profound change.
I have to be very careful because if I don't let this motion out this way, it's going to just be all wrapped up inside me, and I'm just going to get angry at someone for no apparent reason. You know, I'm just going to, you know, I'll take it out on somebody close to me, and I'm trying to get it out now. And I apologize for anybody that out there that's listening, but I think you understand how I feel. I think you get it. I think there's mothers and fathers out there who have to talk to their little ones about active shooter drills, and it is beyond my comprehension. I'm not a parent.
Me too.
As I've explained in the past, I'm a grunkle.
A grunkle.
I'm a great uncle like who that. Drinks. I'm a grunkle. I'm Grunkle Mike. But these kids deserve a peaceful environment in which to learn. That's all.
They do.
I don't think that's much to ask.
I think that's a good place for us to sign off today, to be truthful.
Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate
it. You know, because I think you said it all, Mike, right there.
Yeah, I was very much over the top. I didn't.
No, how can you not be? If you're not over the top about this, you're
dead inside.
You're swallowing some poison, actually, you know.
And not only are you swallowing it, but you're digesting it as well.
Yeah, right. And it's
I can't thank you enough for allowing me to vent a little bit.
Oh, man. And thank you so much for the sports report today and the weather report. You know, I'm Harry Carey. That was good.
I thought Harry was on his game.
I think we need to get a little bit more, you know, climate change connections to things.
Why? You know what's funny? It affects baseball.
Right.
Remember,
well, that's true.
A large percentage of those stadiums are outdoors, baby.
That's right, man. You know, what if there are no more rain-free days? Ever?
Schedule's going to be insane. Well, we had to put a roof over, you know, Wrigley Field in Chicago because...
And then the rain turned to snow and ice.
We didn't want it to be soaked completely through, so the ground's a little damp, but it looks pretty good for a baseball game, John. Okay.
Right. How's the steam?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, buddy.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We love you.
All right, this is time. You've been listening to Enlighten Radio, www.enlightenradio.org. All right, and the Winners and Losers Radio Show, the Sports Attack, or whatever it's called.